The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game. VSiN, of course, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And, of course, the DraftKings Network, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Anthony Edwards will show up within minutes, I'm sure.
Hey!
Guy McKeon on College Hoops today. JVT on the NBA. Paul Carr on the Champions League. Looking forward to that. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing well. Now you just got me started, though, on Ant. How does that happen?
Hey, you lose track of time, Kelly.
How does that happen? Like, wait, I don't think I saw a full detailed story besides he was, like, there warming up and somehow screwed it up.
It's also one of these jokes that might not age well if you find out something's really amiss, you know, right? So you have to...
I didn't get the sense it was any of that, though.
I didn't either.
Last night, though.
I didn't either at all.
Just like, the brief story I read was that he was there. Like, somehow was there at the arena doing separate, like, warm-up workout stuff.
Well, which he always does, but then he just lost track
of
time.
Right, and then lost track of time.
Hey, the game started.
It's just like, I don't know how many arenas you've been in for a game. You typically hear the PA announcer or something like that. Like, it's very... You could be standing in line for nachos. I know a game's about to start.
True that. T-Wolves beat the Blazers last night, despite that snafu to begin the game. Okay, want to get to the Russell Wilson stuff, but before we do this, can I just mention something that just happened to me as I walk in here? Yeah. So my final year of music radio, I used to do this segment called, it was like my final year, it was like the Johnny Unitas San Diego Chargers year of music radio, the Joe Namath Rams year. The Vlad Guerrero Orioles. I'm sorry. Immaculate grid has just broken out here. So the, and we used to do this segment called Not Enough Is Made Of. It was a very Seinfeldian thing where it's just like little things in life that you don't like really voice.
Not enough is made of this.
Right. Not enough is made of. And it was like little things like, I'm just trying to give you examples. If it's you and one other person in an elevator and that person doesn't know proper spacing and you're trapped in a corner and they're like
totally,
remarkably close to you, like what's going on here?
How about this weather?
Yeah, the you know, if you're close enough to someone, you hold the door for them. If you're far enough, you don't. But what's that no man's land in between?
Totally. That's a great one.
It's a tough
one. That's a great one.
Pronounced arm swings, for instance, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah. What is the amount of arm swing that's okay?
Yeah. So just now, I think I ran into one that is.
These are all great. Buddy.
As I get older, this one annoys me. I think more and more to the point that it's now very close to the top of my annoyance rankings.
I think I've got one now for you, too.
Okay, you got one? You know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't know where you're going with
it. Okay. Think of our route to this beautiful bar, Canada, here at the D. Las Vegas. The person, you ready for this? The person who takes one step off an escalator, either up or down, and plants themselves right there and decides that's the proper place to either have a conversation or check their phone. And you're the person behind them.
You mean like where we're still on the metal contraption of the escalator? You know how you have the metal landing area and then
Correct.
You can walk off?
They're still on the metal landing area.
I don't feel like I've seen that
Oh, often. Dude. I feel like you should
I mean,
be given...
People in Vegas stopping in their tracks terrible spots is just a overall terrible theme of this city.
I feel like doing two things.
The escalator hasn't happened to me that many
times. I feel like doing two things. One... I think you get a free charge into that. I think it's a blocking foul no matter what, and I think you get to do that.
I was going
to
say, it might happen less to me because I'm a larger man coming down that escalator. You might want to get out of the way.
And two, I do want to say that. I was like, I'm sorry, is this your first trip on an escalator?
Dude, seriously.
Anyway, that just happened.
Mine, I would say real quick, is just the people that have conversations, watch videos, listen to music on speaker on their phone.
Oh, that's a big
walking
one.
Around anywhere in public.
That's a common one.
Like, do you have any respect for anybody around you? And then sometimes I'm just like blown away at the privacy of the conversations. I'll be like, hey, like, where are you at right now? What are you doing tonight? What's your bank account number? It's like, what are you doing?
If you're sharing an enclosed space like a bus or an Uber and someone does that, oh my God. Yeah, that's terrible. But the escalator one, it's moving up on my power rank. He says, just get out of the way. Why there?
Yeah, that is just silly.
Russell Wilson, let's start there. Because of all the things happening in North American sports yesterday, this is one that there's a possible bet here. I think that if this were available here in Nevada, I would actually make a bet on this. Russell Wilson's next team. Before we get to that, let's just review the Russell Wilson timeline or what's going on, just the basic facts of Russell Wilson in what was really the least kept secret of all yesterday when it finally came down that the Broncos informed the 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback that they plan to release him, a move that ends his 2 years in Denver. Quote, we spoke with Russell to inform him of his release after the start of the league year, March 13th, next week. Coach Sean Payton and general manager George Patton sent a joint statement. So the Broncos, they still got to pay Wilson $39 million this year. And if you combine everything, the Broncos will have $85 million in dead money. $17 million from his base, $38 million from roster bonuses, $30 million from the signing bonus if you're a salary cap nerd and you don't want the breakdown. So, by the way, the $85 million in dead money, 35.4 this year, 49.6 probably next year when they manipulate it. So, that contract ends up being not only historically bad, but the $85 million in dead money is the most in NFL history, more than the next two combined. Yeah. Matt Ryan, 40.525 with the Falcons, and Aaron Rodgers, 40.313 with the Packers. Good God. And remember the trade. With the Seahawks, the Broncos, this is Patton, dealt a first, second, and fifth round draft pick, plus three players to get Wilson, then giving him the $242 million contract. And in return, he got 2 years of Russell Wilson, a combined win-loss record of 11-19, and that $85 million in dead cap. Some of us, by the way, bet some things when Russell Wilson went to the Broncos. Not quite Talia Tagovailoa bad in terms of bets, but some of our worst historical bets ever.
Yeah, the trade itself is just interesting to look back on now because, I mean, we all knew it was a lot at the time. Like, it was a lot.
It was a lot. No, it was a lot. At the time, it was a lot still.
Yes. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I wasn't in the camp of, well, Russell Wilson's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot to give up, and you're gambling on a guy who's getting up there in age a little bit. But to me, this is a guy who's still a Super Bowl quarterback.
You know who deserves a shout? Joe Pita. Joe Pita came on this show and said a few things where he got nothing but incoming.
Yeah,
he was right about everything.
Yep.
Sorry, Fez. That's you I'm talking about. Pita was right about everything. He was right about, and the main thing he was right about was that Wilson was already shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through it piece by piece. So let's just go through the 2 years again. Season one with Russell Wilson, that was the year that Nathaniel Hackett got fired. And then this past year, remember they start out the season, this was Sean Payton now, after Sean Payton said such lovely things about Hackett during the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Came in.
Just, and Russ.
Just, yeah. You know, Sherman's army just burning everything. They start out 1-5, including that loss to the Dolphins where they gave up 70. Then they won 5 in a row. Remember that?
Yep.
To go 6-5. And then they lost 4 of their last 6, and they finish 8-9. But remember, with 2 weeks left in the season, the biggest thing was Wilson said that back during the Week 9 bye with the Broncos when they were 3-5, Wilson said the team first contacted his agent to adjust a $37 million injury guarantee in his contract. And Wilson later said he was told if he didn't agree to adjust to that guarantee, he'd be benched. No adjustment was agreed to. Wilson kept playing. Awkward. And then the Broncos season ensued. But, I mean, that's what he was playing under. And then remember the game against Detroit in December where Sean Payton went crazy on the referee and then turned his screaming directly to Wilson. Russell Wilson, just, you know, one of his generation's great quarterbacks, screaming at him at the top of his lungs. And I believe Wilson could be heard to have said, I'm sorry, Scab, you only won one Super Bowl. Relax. Maybe not. That might be my words. Through it all, it should be remaining. This doesn't appear in any of these articles. Sierra remains spectacular.
Sure, man. He also didn't have that bad of a season last year.
Statistically, so, not.
Yeah, statistically not.
Yeah. Well, because he had that 5-game stretch in the middle where all they did was win games. So he was
26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions,
I mean, but here's the thing.
Yards.
He's a middling NFL quarterback,
absolutely,
right?
Of course,
at
yeah.
this point in yeah. his career. What might be his next team? You can bet these at DraftKings.
Off the board right
off
now.
Off the board yeah. currently.
This is what we had last
when
week.
When last it appeared, let me be clear, the Steelers were minus 225. Some of the scuttlebutt out of the combine, out of the NFL combination, was that the Steelers are going to run it back with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
So I would never bet minus 225 on the Steelers. The Raiders are plus 550. The Broncos, I don't know why they're on the list there. 6-1. That was before.
Well, this, again, yeah, this was before they got cut.
Falcons are 6-1. Remember, they're the Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins associated team most often. Patriots are plus 850. Vikings, Commanders, Titans, 10-1, 20-1, 31 respectively. If I were in a place where this was available, and if these were the odds, it's a lot of ifs, I'd be very curious to know, let's put it back, when this is posted again, what is going to be the price on the Raiders? Because if it's anywhere...
very short.
Oh, it's not going to be anywhere close to plus 550, yeah. You think? You don't think the Steelers will still remain the prohibitive favorite?
No, I think they probably will, but this is, you know, like all these quarterbacks, I guess, outside of Kirk Cousins, all the, you know, Fields and Russell Wilson, like they've all taken their turn being like massive favorites to go to the Steelers. So, I mean, Steelers, Raiders, Falcons will be the three short shots.
Okay. Well, if the Raiders, let's just say the Raiders get cut in half.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. That's right. Probably around.
So let's say it's plus 275. Yeah. I'd bet that.
Okay.
Because when he was in Seattle and he knew things were amiss,
yeah, he brought up,
he
the Raiders,
said
right?
that would
yeah.
be a destination for him, one of his desired destinations.
I think it's a really good possibility. Because, like, the Falcons at this point almost sound like it's Fields or Cousins. They're going to be laying one of those two. And then what do the Steelers do? I mean, we've heard the Kenny Pickett stuff.
I mean, Raiders might try to trade up for, you know, better draft pick, but that's tough. I think that's where he might end up. Raiders plus 275. Oh, if only we had legalized sports betting here in Nevada. We'll come back. NBA talk on the other side. JVT as well. It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts. World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. The escalator thing seems to have struck a nerve with people.
I just can't believe it's happened to you that many times.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not all the time, but like frequently enough that you remember it
yeah.
as a thing.
Yeah. Oh, I would remember that. That would, I mean, it's a massive Vegas problem for people that live here. I'm not going to, I never blame anybody for this because I get it. Tourists are in town. You do a lot of I want to walk around the casino all slowly and check everything out. And hey, honey, look at that. Look at this. But it's like we're trying to walk somewhere. Like I know I'm going to this restaurant. Yeah. I'm going to walk this way. And it's like people just stop dead in their tracks.
Well, we're all absent-minded at different yeah. times. None of us are immune to that. But to be so absent-minded that when you take that last step off yeah, the escalator, you decide
worse.
To plant yourself there
that's
is such
worse.
A blatant just, you know, divorce from your mind.
Quite a power move, actually.
Again, I think it should be a court of public opinion, you know, blocking foul no matter what. You just charge into the person.
I think you should do it the opposite way would be the power move. Going up, just stop at the top there so people just, like, have to walk.
Oh, they do that sometimes.
You're like, excuse me, sir, excuse me.
Richard Palma, how about when you're in an elevator, the door opens to your floor. Oh, yeah, this one's great. People waiting for the elevator outside barge in before letting you out. Another deserving charge
God,
or
yeah.
a block.
Yeah, that's a great one. That drives me
I can
me
remember
insane.
My mother teaching me that when yeah. I was a little kid. Like, let the people off first.
It's one of those. I did that like 2 weeks ago and felt so bad about it afterward. Like I did, you're running around. I'm doing a million different things. Like yeah. it was on my phone.
Well, if you say I'm so sorry, like then it's fine.
So that's I was on my phone. The guy was like, the door had opened. The guy was already halfway out. And we kind of just walked by each other in the entrance. But that was like, I didn't even say sorry to him. And the door closed. I'm like, what did I just do?
No, you're
like,
horrible.
Yeah, I'm a horrible.
You're
person.
A horrible human.
Horrible
being.
Human being.
Trip Tepper. Here's one. The guy who blatantly crowds your personal space in the grocery store checkout line. Bro, can you give me some breathing room here?
Yeah, been there, done that.
Danny, pocket underscore 10. An APR, annoyance power ranking akin to yours. The horizontal people movers like in an airport. The rule is stand right, walk left. I cannot take it when somebody's just standing right in the middle. Roger Jones, I don't understand this one.
Oh, the people movers. Yeah. Roger. That's the same sort of thing.
Yeah. As far as Wilson goes, he says, let's ride. And for me, Gil, people who do not know how to turn left are high on the Peeve power rank. Yeah, I don't even understand that one.
That was the one that caught me and Gil the most off guard during the break. What?
Do people have trouble turning left? Chris Hartman, Gil, people who charge into the elevator on the lobby floor like there's zero chance anyone could possibly be getting off should be open game for a hip check. There's another vote for
that one. That's a common one. That is a common problem.
Pounder, Gil, I'm having difficulty tweeting this to you, Gil. People keep bumping into me at the top of the escalator. The Better Life, Tim Lawson, adding on to the escalator fury. No,
yours is at the bottom of the escalator, right?
Like, well, it could be at the top, too, but it's typically at the bottom.
The bottom's a bigger problem because you don't have anywhere to go. Like, it is like, hey, this ride is ending, like, right here.
Right, you don't have anywhere to go
theoretically,
in either case.
I guess you could kind of,
no,
you know.
No, it's inconvenient no matter what. Tim Lawson. The Better Life, adding on to the escalator fury. As you know, Gil, in D.C., if you stand on the left side of the escalator, you can get shanked by someone behind you, and you'll be to blame. Stand on the right, walk on the left. All right, we can go on. This is going to go on all show with these, clearly. We'll get to the rest of these, I promise.
We're just trying to fix society, man.
Just trying to. So not enough is made of these things. That's what we're here for.
It's really not. Everybody thinks about them. Like, that. The elevator one is such a good. Like, that is definitely. That is something that I run into once every 2 weeks.
You want a couple more? Grissom, the airport is the worst. People will seamlessly be moving along until someone abruptly stops in the middle of the terminal. Common practice needs to be to move to the outside if you need to stop or else get run over.
Yeah,
don't get me started on elevator etiquette.
See what you're talking about right there. That's Vegas 10X that. Everywhere in Vegas.
Cowboys underscore Cubs 1, circling this back to Russell Wilson. He goes, not enough is being made of this. Russell Wilson and Dan Quinn have a history making a reunion in the DMV so perfect. Can't wait for the rich man's Herschel Walker new catchphrase after signing a multi-billion dollar deal with the WTFs. Les commode, he says. He's just messing with me. No, please no. They got the number two pick, for God's sake.
Please no.
Please no. Okay, I finally did bite on Shea Gilgeous at plus 240.
Yeah, and he rewarded you last night with very blah game.
How many score last night? Did he get 30?
No. I think it was like 20. I don't even know if he had 20.
He saw me make the bet.
Yeah, he saw you make the bet.
By the way, so Shea now, 46 of 61 games where he has scored 30 or more.
20.7 rebounds. Four steals. Leads the NBA in steals.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up steals.
Leads the NBA in steals.
I'm going to do this every day. I am going to beat this horse. You ready?
So terrible. We're going back to Wemby.
That's a terrible expression, by the way.
Blocks and steals. How many does Wemby have, Gil?
All right. Listen, I'm just going to give you facts, and then you can. This is all because no one is even willing to have the conversation that Rudy Gobert is not the defensive player of the year. All right. This is from StatMuse. First of all, let me just say this. Wemby has played 1,579 minutes this year. Gobert has played 2,027. So 30% more he's been on the court, Rudy Gobert. Wembanyama, 72 steals, Gobert, 35. Wemby, 186 blocks, Gobert, 128. Wemby's defensive rating, 107.4, Gobert's 104.0. I'm sorry, who did you say the defensive player of the year is? Oh, let's do it one more time. Let me do it another way. This makes me angry. While the Spurs rank 24th in defensive rating, 117.3. Their defensive rating improves to 112.1 with Wembanyama on the court, which would rank them sixth, Kelly, in the NBA. So basically, people are docking him for when he's not even on the court. Meanwhile, when he sits, they have the equivalent of the league's worst defensive rating, 120.0. It should be noted that Gobert, on the other hand, four Timberwolves, including Gobert, in the top 20 of defensive rating. What a ridiculous thing that he's that people aren't even willing to have the conversation. Wembanyama is so clearly the defensive player of the year. And by the way, the award is defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to make it a team award.
Yeah. It's always factored in. I get your point.
Kelly, there's not a point. They're the sixth best defensive team in the league when he's on the court. They're last when he's off it.
Yeah.
He's getting blamed for that.
Is he getting blamed? I don't know if he's getting blamed.
In the market, he's getting. Let's put it this way: sports bettors won't even have a conversation about it.
I, it's just we've had multiple conversations about it. The stats are overwhelming.
Because I forced people.
If he wins the award, like it will only be shocking because nobody's ever really won the award on that bad of a overall defensive team. That's the only reason it'd be shocking. But the stats are out of this world. If there were ever a time for this trend to be broken of who wins this type of award, it would be this year. I'll give you that for sure.
There it is in black and white. I just said it.
I mean, MVP, you can't have that conversation either. Like, MVP, it always, the team performance always matters. Rookie of the year, it rarely does.
I was just making the point because this one specifically, right? Gobert was such an overwhelmingly prohibitive favorite.
It's coming down.
And here's, I said yesterday, oh, all of a sudden, Victor Wembanyama just 7-1 now, right? I'm just saying, this was the one everybody would talk about every other award. No one was even willing to talk about this market, Kelly.
I mean, well, I think from my perspective, this is I'm avoiding it all. I mean, I'm Rudy Gobert. He's awesome. What he's done with team defenses and what he's helped anchor defenses for years between Minnesota and Utah has been absolutely incredible. So I get why he's the favorite, and I get because the team defense is so good. I get why he's the favorite, but like
you know who should win this award? Spencer Strider. That's who should win this award. This is kind of.
I mean, it will I'm not going to be angry. If Wembanyama somehow wins this award, I'm not going to be angry, but it does just bucks the trend of what we've seen in this award.
It's going to be a winning ticket for me, and I'm still going to be angry at everybody because I'm like, shame on all of you who don't even have this conversation about it. By the way, I hijacked
the one that gets way more, you know who gets just as, I mean, JVT is coming up next. Yeah. He gets just as angry and another award over something.
Oh, let's do that.
And that would be most improved.
Okay, let's get to that.
Which is the only knock on that one, or the only knock on Jalen Williams would be what we always say about this award is that, well, you're in your second year. And we usually think it takes longer than the second year player to win most improved player because you need to be in the league longer to have improved.
Oh, God, we're like such arbitrary reasoning for everything.
Oh, this one sets JVT off. Lead him into that one. He goes nuts
about
this.
I hijacked the entire segment with the Wembanyama
thing. That's good. We'll wrap up the other ones later.
All right, JVT on most improved player.
Yeah, we'll hit that with him. I made a bet in six-man.
His plays in the NBA. You made a bet in the six-man.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get to that.
You did. It was bubbling under yesterday, and you finally made it.
Yeah, finally did. Okay. It's one of those, the favorite, I don't understand why he's as big of a favorite as he is.
Not enough is made of. The tweets continue. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game. Get your subscription now. They're going quick.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We got tweets at beating the book. Chris Hartman. Gents, please remind me why Caleb is hands down number one pick. His best season under Lincoln Riley was worse than both Baker and Kyler's, like 2 yards per attempt worse. Is it because he's a whole half an inch taller than Baker? Chicago should be open for business. Thanks again. Listen, I think the thing with the draft, again, is it's the most inexact science ever. Nobody knows anything. We had Merrill Hodge on the show from Media Row the day before this, or a couple days before the Super Bowl, and he said, and he gets everything right. Like, he had C.J. Stroud as the only quarterback that should have been picked in the first round last year. He famously said that Johnny Manziel would be a bust. He said Khalil Mack would be better than Jadeveon Clowney. He said, Caleb Williams is, quote, nothing special, unquote. So, again, we'll see. Brian M. missed the first hour in a meeting today. Did you see Simona Halep's ban was reduced and she's immediately cleared to return to tennis? Yes. For a tennis hardos out there, first of all, a couple tennis announcements. One, Simona Halep, who had a 4-year ban, Kelly, it was reduced to 9 months. She was one of the best players in the world. Last played in the 2022 U.S. Open. She was banned for for the substance. I want to get this right because you're on it currently, so I want everybody to know. Roxadustat, you're on that, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
She is eligible to play now.
You know what I don't get about the like? So she's.
They said it wasn't entirely her fault, is what they said.
Oh, that's the ruling?
Yep.
So, like, so because of that wording, she can't go back and sue them for, like I never, what the part I don't understand these things, when they overturn stuff like that,
yeah,
I would be going crazy with lawyers.
It's a great point.
You stole that much time away from my career, and now you're saying you made a mistake?
Had she had to serve it out, she'd have been 35 years old in 2026. Now she gets to play. You know, and by the way, Drew Dinsick and I are doing the Indian Wells podcast, tennis's de facto fifth major, which starts tomorrow. They only did the draw yesterday, and books sort of slow to roll out futures and round one odds. They're kind of now getting spread out there, so they're just now proliferating. Don't have any quarters yet that I see. But we're doing it a little after the show today, some hours. Why? Because Drew is on the slopes.
Hence him not being on the show today, yeah.
But he's probably, you know what, it's probably a good deal that it was because we wouldn't have everything available to us if we did the podcast right afterwards. Right, hence him not being on the show, exactly.
He's got a couple of black diamonds he's got to carve up today, okay, come on.
He's got a good life. You know who else has a good life? And this is, as reflected in this tweet, Michael Burns. Paul Carr at spring training. Sounded like a hint of jealousy in young Gil's voice. You are correct. He is at spring training. It's Paul Carr, everybody, from True Media Networks and the Expected Value Podcast. How you doing, Paul?
It's another beautiful day in Arizona, Gil. High in the low 70s, sun's out, baseball's in the air. Couldn't be better.
Ah, what a time. Mark, you were saying off air, March is your favorite sports month. This is, for those of us who sort of did Sloan all those years at MIT, it used to be Sloan Sports Conference followed by like spring training in Arizona. And now that I live in Vegas, it's like a choice between do I go to Indian Wells, do I go to spring training? And then when the tournament starts, though, that goes all out the window. You can't go anywhere. But what a month. What's the weather like right now? What's the temperature?
It's just perfect. Like right now it's 64 or something. It's going to creep up to 70, 72 today, something like that. And
beautiful.
March is the best. It's NCAA tournament. It's the start of baseball. For me, it's Champions League knockout stage begins, which just is one of my favorite soccer things. So it's all coming together. It's great.
All right. And you're meeting with baseball teams with True Media Networks out there?
Yep. Yeah, just driving around. Mostly, you know, teams are just getting their processes in place. So we're showing them, here's how you can use the site. This can help you with this, things like that. Because they're just nailing down everything they're going to do, you know, every day for 162 games or 100 minor league games or whatever it might be. So just helping everyone get organized before the season.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Travel annoyance. You had one, you said?
Oh, okay, here's mine. So I fly Southwest a lot because it's often the best option out of Kansas City, and they do boarding a little differently. You know, everyone gets a number, A1 through 30, B1 through 30, and you're supposed to line up in that order. They have these nice little signs that break people into groups of five to make it easy. But what bothers me is the people that ignore these signs and just get anywhere in that letter, they have like, you know, if you have A25 and you're at A24, that's fine, whatever. But you have like A58, and you get in front at A30, and then you make the joke about how we're all going the same place. And that's not the point, Gil. We're living in a society here.
That's
get in
right.
Order.
That's a very uniquely Southwest problem. And people fall under in two categories. There's the, it doesn't matter. We're all just trying to get on the plane. Whatever, get in front of me.
Right.
The people who take that attitude. And so if you're the other person who's a stickler and like, no, I'm B2 and you're B6.
Right.
Get four places behind me. So there's that little thing.
Even the ones that do the groups, it gets, it's annoying. Even when you're, like, in group, all right, boarding group A is first. The guy that's in E's got is waiting by the door ready to go.
Yep.
Paul? Yeah, and when those people snipe my exit row seat on Southwest or something, then I'm really mad.
I mean, those are fighting words right there. You steal an exit row seat, oh, boy.
Yep.
I do the exit row thing where I get, like, way too serious about it, where I do the gag where I'm like, I have responsibilities here. I'm an exit row. Please, everybody, file away. All right. Now, these three Champions League plays that you have, one today, two tomorrow. Now, let's full disclosure. You don't love any of these? Is that a fair characterization?
That's fair. This is a tough week. I mean, second legs are always squirrely because, again, you can draw in advance, so you know the best team isn't as incentivized to win. These are also 90-minute bets, not extra time, so you know that gets a little weird. I'm trying to think through that, and just looking at the numbers, sometimes you just get confused. Like, why isn't this best team favored by what they would normally be? So that's part of it. And just the, you know, the first legs are all pretty low scoring, so it just sets up a lot of different possibilities in these second legs. So yeah, I'm not in love with any of these. I'm still playing them, but I'm not going as hard as I might have otherwise.
Okay, let's sort of flesh that out about the scoring for people who don't really know what we're talking about format-wise. Today, yep. Real Sociedad taking on PSG. What's your play here?
Yeah, so PSG won this first leg 2-0. So that means PSG advances as long as they don't lose by at least two goals. So, you know, PSG, again, not super incentivized to go get a bunch of goals. Also, Kylian Mbappe, their best player, he's agreed to join Real Madrid this summer. And then the last couple of games, he's been subbed off early. So there's, is he going to start? I don't know how long he's going to play. So if you want to wait for lineups to maybe play the under 2.5, like I did, I don't mind that. I played it at -115. Sociedad's going to try and win this game 2-0 and get to extra time. Their defense is okay over the season, fifth in La Liga. And like I said, PSG doesn't have to go get goals. So I think this PSG is just going to try to slog this one out and get out of here with a 0-0, 1-0, either way type of game. So I like under 2.5 at -115.
Right. So PSG, even if they're down a goal, right, they can still, that's still fine with them. For your purposes,
correct,
you want it to be 1-0, right? But
right, yeah.
Okay, but that's again with second legs. These are always the things you have to consider. All right, tomorrow, Man City. By the way, congratulations on your 3-0 the other day on the show. I should have probably started there. Nice job.
Yeah, ran the Premier League weekend and well, got a stoppage time winner for Man City to get the third one. So
yeah,
not bad. We'll take it.
Well, that's what reminded me of it when I saw Man City come up here on the board. So tomorrow, Man City taking on Copenhagen. Man City having won the first game 3-1.
Yep. So this one's relatively straightforward from a scenario standpoint. City's going through unless they lose by at least two goals, which is not happening at home. I think they're like -100,000 to advance or something like that, at least at one place. So, I got Man City winning 2-0 here, +155. Not totally sure who City's going to start. You know, they may rest some of their better players and only, you know, bring on De Bruyne or Haaland if they have to in the second half to get a goal. But I still like City. Again, they're just going to take care of business here. You know, Copenhagen's the worst team left in this knockout round, and Man City just, again, take care of business. But win 2-0 +155, I like.
Win 2-0. Okay. Now, I always love a good one here like this for big plus money. Real Madrid and Leipzig. First go round, Real Madrid won it 1-0. What do you like here?
So, yeah, you know, anytime the draw gets over +300, that it's kind of like catnip to me. So I like the Real Madrid-Leipzig draw a little bit at +350. And the score comes into play here. Real Madrid 1-0. They won the first leg on the road, even though it was really even. Diaz had a great goal for Real Madrid. RB Leipzig is sort of a, I don't know, a mid-major that's not scared of anyone. You know, St. Mary's type, something like that.
Okay.
I mean, they play in the good league in Germany, obviously, but they're an up-and-coming club over the last decade. They just don't park the bus on the road. You know, they've gone for it or tried to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Bayern and Leverkusen and et cetera this year in the Bundesliga. And they have some firepower. Luis Openda is a Belgian guy who scored 6 in his last 7 Bundesliga games for them. So, yeah, Madrid is fine with a 1-1 game. They'd advance. And I don't think Madrid's going to go out because he can't kill Real Madrid. So, draw, +350.
All right, Real Sociedad PSG under 2.5 today. Man City win to nil over Copenhagen tomorrow. And Real Madrid Leipzig draw, +350. Let's get that tomorrow. Paul, enjoy Arizona. I'm jelly, man.
I will. Let's go.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr on Twitter, C-A-R-R. Western Conference playing on the other side. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Headphones are shot, Kelly. Come through one ear.
Oh, okay. The D is a great spot, by the way. If you need to figure out if there's any early action in the day, it's always whether we got bettors lining up here or not. So do we have early college hoops games going, I'm guessing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we have early?
And soccer.
Actually, do we have early?
I don't know. That's what I just assumed based off of seeing four people go up and make bets.
That's your...
It might be soccer, I guess. It could just be Champions League.
College basketball today, there is not an early game.
I guessed wrong.
Yeah. Didn't think so.
Sold these better short.
Next week, tons of early games. This week, not so much. Okay, we did Eastern Conference play-in markets in the NBA earlier on the show. Let's talk Western Conference, where again, this is setting up to be, don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but the Western Conference playoffs this year in the NBA is setting up to be the greatest thing ever because it's 1-10 deep.
It's crazy. Now that the what you said last there matters for this.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. The difference between 10th and 11th in the West, I mean, it's done.
Well, we made a big deal about it in the East where it was 2.5 games. We're talking 5 games out West.
6 in the loss column. Golden State has 28 losses, and they're in 10th. Utah has 34 losses. They're in 11th. So nobody's fallen out. I mean, there's 20 games left and a 6-game difference. Chances are nobody's fallen
out
in that
direction.
It's
those 10 teams.
It's those 10 teams. That's right. With the Lakers being 9 and Golden State 10 at this moment. Now, on the other side of that, that's where the drama is in this market. So much like with the Eastern Conference, where there was a glut between 4 and 7, we have a glut here between 5 and 10, quite frankly. The 5th place Pelicans have 25 losses. 6th place Suns, 26, as do the 7th place Kings. 8th place Mavs, 27. 10th place Warriors, 28. 9th place Lakers, 29. Because, again, the Lakers have played 3 more games than the Warriors have. So, 4 games in the loss column, different amounts of games played between the 5th-seeded Pelicans and the 10th-seeded Warriors.
Yeah, what's funny is this has gotten even more jumbled here recently because you've had the Clippers kind of slide back from those top, you know, it was a top 4 for a while with them. They're kind of moved back a little bit now, 3 games out of first place. So they're kind of in that middle range by themselves at 4 right now. But yeah, that Pelicans to Warriors, like even that, I mean, Pelicans are 6-4 in their last 10. Suns 5-5, Kings 5-5, Mavericks 6-4. So they've all come back to the you know, all of a sudden surging Lakers and Warriors here. So, I mean, it feels like just last week I was saying I didn't think there was any way the Lakers or Warriors could possibly play their way out of a play-in position. The odds have surely changed on that, and it makes sense because it's not as much work that they have to do for one of those teams to possibly get out of there.
Lakers and Warriors, huge favorites to be in the play-in. Makes sense.
Yeah, still the most likely.
Still the most likely. Could very easily play themselves into a 6th seed, though. Again, only 2 and 3 games difference between the 6th place Suns and the 10th and 9th place Warriors and Lakers in the loss column. The reason I say 10th and 9th is the Warriors actually have one fewer loss right now than the Lakers. But if you do it by strength of schedule, here's where it gets interesting. Phoenix, the reason that Phoenix is -265 and they're currently in 6th, part of that reason is they got the toughest remaining schedule in all the NBA.
Yep.
Their opponent's aggregate win percentage is .577. And again, Devin Booker still not back on the court. The big three has just played, I mean, not even 25 games together this year, something like that.
Yeah, right up around that.
So Suns are -285 to fall into the play-in tournament. That makes sense based on the schedule. New Orleans, +155 to fall in. Remember, they're the current 5th seed. Sacramento and Dallas, respectively, -145 and -220 to remain. So is there a bet at all here?
I think the Kings are interesting.
Kings are interesting to be in it.
This is another one. When I was writing this down yesterday, it was +110. They go and lose last night, move to -145 in the market. I think they'd be the team, if I was going to bet anything here, it would be the Sacramento Kings. Currently in the 7th seed. The Mavericks number feels... that feels chalky to me at -220. They're the team I could see playing themselves out of the play-in tournament and getting back into that top 6 where they were for a while. They're not dealing with the same type of injuries that Phoenix is. The Devin Booker, him missing time here is going to be major, major factor on top of the fact, like you said, they've got the toughest schedule of all these teams that we're talking about. I don't feel like New Orleans is going to fall out, and I feel like Dallas is going to work itself back in, so it leaves Sacramento and Phoenix falling into that play-in tournament with the Lakers and the Warriors.
Was there a no on the play-in?
No.
Just yeses?
Just yeses.
Because I was going to say, what's the Lakers no?
This is the one that, this is the market I want instead of, like, if you're going to do... If you're going to do this market and you're going to do yes-no playoffs...
You should do a yes-no here, too.
Or give me the top six to be a top 60.
Because the Lakers' no would be interesting because minus 650, yes, to be the play-in. But what would their no be? Because they do have an easy schedule, right? They have the eighth easiest remaining schedule in the NBA. So if you're a Lakers person, not saying I would, but if you're a Lakers person, that might be interesting to you.
You could, let's see, what are they to make the playoffs? I mean, they're minus 135 to make the playoffs.
Are you seeing a make-miss playoffs up right now?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So, here's the thing about, let's just go from this market to another one for a second. This is something we talked about with Drew last week, and I'm scrolling for right now. Phoenix Suns to
miss
is still plus 195. Still plus 195. So not negligible plus money. They're in the sixth spot. They have 26 losses. Again, the Lakers have 29 in ninth. The Warriors have 28th. We already said Phoenix has the toughest schedule remaining in the entire NBA. Could they? But the thing is, no, to miss it, they'd have to. They'd have to fall
well,
all
get in the
way.
And
No. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're not going to miss the playoffs because they'd have to clear Utah to miss the playoffs.
No, the make the playoffs get settled after the play-in tournament.
Oh, after, I'm sorry, I got confused. Yeah. So make the playoffs. So,
that's what I'm saying. I wish they would post a make the top, top 60.
No, you're right, I got confused. So plus one, to make the playoffs, that's the distinction. Seven plays eight, as Kelly said, seven's in as the seventh seed. Nine plays 10. Loser of 7-8 plays winner of 9-10 to determine the eighth playoff position. Those that are officially called the playoffs.
Correct.
At that point. So if the Suns fall into the play-in and then get bounced from the play-in, that's how they miss the playoffs.
So that this is I always yell for that market because I think the play-in tournament has been great adding it.
Yeah.
Yes, no playoffs become so much more difficult to bet now because you almost don't want to touch a team on the yes or the no side that might fall in the play-in tournament.
Right, because it's single elimination if you're 9-10. It's double elimination if you're 7-8.
At best, you're getting double elimination.
Would you play the Suns at plus 195? Or the big three intact still good to win a single basketball game or one of two basketball games?
I have to believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that, yes.
Okay, so of all this, East and West then, I think the Knicks 5-1 is the bet I like the most.
That's where, I mean, the Eastern Conference.
Participate in the play-in.
These specifically, I think the Eastern Conference, some of those longer odds ones, you could,
yes.
It's not that they're going to necessarily get home, right? But what does this market look like a week from now with how jumbled those teams are?
1,000%. And that's why those Western Conference teams were priced pretty well.
Yeah.
But the opportunity, and again, am I saying that it's likely that this happens with the Knicks? Well, no, but 5-1 is too long. So, again, with the injuries, with the fact that they just don't have that big of a lead in the loss column, this as Kelly said, this could change very dramatically here. And there's 20 games to be played.
Yes.
I mean, that's an eternity when it comes to this kind of thing where you're just jockeying for seeding.
Yep.
Because that stuff changes every night.
Well, that's what the numbers I wrote down, they moved 50 cents based off of results last night.
Yeah.
That's one night. A week, who knows?
It is very true, though. The sports books could have so many different markets from this. Yes-no play-in.
Yeah.
Yes-no playoffs.
To make the top six. To be out of the top 10.
Right.
That one's not as fun.
Not as fun. Right, but yeah.
Still applies.
Now. But I do think that's it. Knicks 5-1 would be the only thing I would hazard a guess on. You have a sixth man of the year play.
I do. I did bet Norman Powell yesterday. Maybe we'll swing back that tomorrow. I just don't understand why Malik Monk is as big of a favorite as he is. Two bets for me tonight in the association. Did lay it with the Celtics. We talked about that with JVT earlier. I also laid it with the Pelicans. It's out to 9. I think I'd still go there, though. The Raptors really banged up right now.
All right. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.